Hello and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. In this podcast, we dive deep into the spiritual and esoteric side to the world. I was an atheist for most of my life, and in being an atheist, I cut myself off from source and the magical side to the universe. In reconnecting to my soul, spirit, and purpose, I was able to completely transform my life, and now I want to help you do the same. It's now my mission to help you utilize the spiritual world to cultivate self-love, self-trust, and self-understanding in order to then better navigate this physical world around us. So join me on this journey of insane self-discovery and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome to or welcome back to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for being here for another episode on the podcast. I am loving the self-love talk, all of the conversations I've been having since last week's episode. I've been loving it. I think self-love is one of the most difficult things to cultivate for many people in this life. I know it's been a really hard journey for me, you know, really trying to hone in on self-love. So I've been loving starting the conversation about that with the previous episode. So thank you so much. And yeah, I hope you are all well. I am well myself. What have I been up to? Really just having some deep realizations. I'm trying not to hermit. I find myself hermiting when I get like really deep. I have a Scorpio moon, guys. So Scorpio moon and Leo sun. So you could imagine the polarity, right? So my Scorpio just wants to retreat and hide and doesn't want to talk to anyone. And then my Leo just wants to like shine bright and be like, hi everyone, this is what I'm doing. So it's really funny to have the polarity. But anyway, I'm so excited for this episode. Honestly, I have a very special guest on the podcast. Well, they've all been special, but Aubrey and I were in a program together called the Simply Business Academy, and that's run by Erin Henry. And it's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today. It's what propelled me on this journey to chase after my dreams. So we did this course together, and I was honestly so inspired by this woman. She has lived an incredible life, and the things that she's been able to cultivate in her reality is just truly so inspiring. She's just all round incredible. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear her story. And I'm so grateful that she's taken the time to actually dive deep into, you know, how she's been able to cultivate the life she's been able to cultivate for herself. Like, she's really, really incredible. So Aubrey is a globe wandering published travel author, photographer, and certified mindset and manifestation coach. She specializes in holistic lifestyle design for female entrepreneurs who want to make the world their office doing something that they love. She's also certified in NLP, hypnosis, and she's a meditation trainer who's fascinated with exploring our individual inner worlds just as much as exploring the beautiful destinations in our outer world. She's incredible, honestly. She has seriously made the world her office, and she has made all of her desires come to life. She is incredible, and I've learned so much from her. I'm so inspired by her, and I know that you guys will feel inspired by her as well, and I know that you will learn so much from her. I love that she has now kind of done this like full circle moment and come back to mindset development. And that's what she helps female entrepreneurs with. She helps them with their mindset and their subconscious programming. It's really, really important if you want to create the life of your dreams. And that can look literally any way that you want. It's different for everybody, right? What I desire is going to be different from what you desire, but it all starts with mindset. And our mindset is wildly influenced, but yes, it's really, really influenced by our subconscious programming. And that is something we develop from a young age in childhood. So it's so, so, so important to do this work in order to change your life if that's what you're seeking to do, right? So that's what Aubrey is really passionate about as well. So we dive into all of this on the podcast. I can't wait for you guys to listen. I can't wait to see what you guys think. As always, if you are enjoying the podcast or you enjoy the episode and you want to show your support, I would love it and I would so, so, so appreciate it if you could give the podcast a rate and review in iTunes. And I believe you can do it on the Apple Podcasts app as well. Yes, that might be an easier way. It really just helps the podcast to grow and reach new people. And it also shows me that you guys are enjoying the content and you want to see more. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much if you take the time out of your day to do that. I would so, so, so appreciate it. As always, if you want to connect with either Aubrey or myself, Instagram is where we're most active, and we would love to continue the discussion further with you guys. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I love having these conversations. I literally live for them. So I'm totally down for a chat, and yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys. So I will stop blabbing now. Let's welcome Aubrey to the podcast. Hi, Aubrey, and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Shule. It's so nice to be on this podcast with you and truly, truly such an honor.
So before we get into anything, I would love it if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and explain a little into what it is you do.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Aubrey. I'm a published travel author and certified mindset and manifestation coach for multi-passionate entrepreneurs who are ready to really step into their true power and create their dream life and business of freedom, limitless abundance, and ultimate fulfillment. I left my 9-to-5 job or the 9-to-5 working world to pursue a rather unconventional path, I guess you could say, traveling the world and creating an online business. But I guess times like right now, and I'm so grateful to have achieved so much success and now be guiding other ambitious women to be creating their own dream reality too.
I think it's beautiful. I really do love the transition because you started off like as this like lifestyle blogger, traveling this world, taking these beautiful pictures, working with brands, and what a beautiful like career path and what a beautiful like beautiful things that you've accomplished. But I really do believe like it's so selfless of you to now transition into I want to help other women do this for themselves. Like not many people take a role on as a teacher and want to help other people do the same thing. So I really think it's so special that you're like, you know what? I've done all of these tremendous things in my life. I've lived an extraordinary life. You're still living an extraordinary life, but you really have like accomplished so much. And now you're just like, I want to be able to give this to other women. And I think that that is so, so, so special. But before we dive into all of that, because I am so fascinated by your story, I would love to know, I ask all my guests, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good question because for me, you know, I don't think it's ever really been that, it's never really been that kind of moment that's like, oh, ta-da, like I'm out of the spiritual closet and here I am, you know, it's kind of been a more like slow and steady sort of unraveling to my spirituality. And I know that I've always followed my curiosities. And I feel like, you know, those little nudges are always telling me something. When I was in my early 20s, I was really drawn to crystals and I bought a meditation pillow. I don't even believe that I knew what meditation was back then. But to this day, I have used that now because I have gotten my certification in meditation, as well as like really diving deeper into that. So I think my spirituality like practice has just been, you know, me diving deeper into it from my early 20s. But at the same time, I don't feel I've ever really shared that publicly with the online world. It's always been that kind of secret practice for myself. But now I am getting more comfortable in sharing about it because I realize that it's helped me a lot, and it also helps other people with feeling a lot more confident and empowered. And so I'm happy to be able to share that if they can take away something from that.
I love it. I think like it's so important to like I might be up in the cosmos and I'm doing like I'm really up in the woo, right? But you can make this stuff really groundable and relatable. Really, it's all like self-development. And that's how it started for me as well. This journey was like self-development. This is helping me like step into my power. So I completely agree. And I think like, yeah, if it was a big part of your journey, it's important to start to kind of infuse that in your work. So I love that. I can kind of see the transition as well. I can see you like slowly like posting things about like star seeds and things like that. And I'm like, oh my God, she's such a star seed. When I saw that, I was like, yes. I loved it.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's funny that because I was posting a lot of just like, you know, from an authentic place, and I never really knew what star seeds were. You know, there's things that have been presented to me right now, and I look back in my life and I'm like, oh yeah, I've been doing that. Oh yeah, I feel like that. And it's just, you know, it's just further like reassurance and confirmation. But because I was posting a lot of, I guess, things from my heart and things that were very empathetic, someone actually commented, I forgot who, but someone just actually commented and said, Aubrey, I think you're a starseed. And I was like, what is a starseed? And then so I looked it up and I'm like, oh my God, I think I am. And so that kind of like opened up something that I was like, wow, I actually feel like I belong here, you know, like at home here. So that's always nice.
That's so beautiful. I love that. So tell us about your story. I want to know, like, you know, how did you start this like unconventional lifestyle? How did you go from like the 9-to-5 world to doing this stuff online, becoming successful, and now like transitioning into the work that you're doing now?
Yeah. So, okay. It's been such a long time, and my journey, I feel like, really has those different phases from when I was working 9-to-5 to actually leaving my job to actually traveling the world and then getting paid for it and then the book deal. But I'll start from the very beginning. And I always knew that I was creative at like such a young age. When I was back in school, I loved art. I love textiles. I love photography and film photography. So I always had that sort of creative like burst in me where I knew that I wanted to create and travel and explore. But my journey into the online business world really began with my blog, which is theloveassembly.com. And that started in late 2012. And so that was when I was still working 9-to-5. And I was working in PR and marketing for fashion labels, where I was interviewing creative friends, colleagues, and just people in the industry who took something that they loved and then turned it into a business or career. Hence the name, The Love Assembly. But then shortly after that, I got my first brand collaboration and my taste of like what a partnership would look like with CountryLink. So if you're unsure of what CountryLink is, you could say that in Europe, it's like the Eurostar of Australia. So it's a transport train system. And I got sent to Canberra. So my first collaboration, which is like a travel partnership, I got sent to Canberra to attend this French exhibition. It was the Toulouse-Lautrec art exhibition, and just really go on this journey to experience what Canberra was like, what the exhibition was like. And, you know, I look back on it now, and during that time, I just remember seeing girls being sent to like New York and Paris, and that sort of comparison of me being sent to Canberra was like, it's not the most exciting place. But you know what?
Canberra's like the place that you don't want to come to in Australia.
It's like not much going on there.
You want to go everywhere.
But yeah, I look back on it now and I'm like, oh, I really appreciate those humble beginnings, because if I was to draw like a lesson from that, it's always, you know, honor where you are in your present moment, wherever you are in your journey. And comparison is the thief of joy. So really just honor where you are and be present in every moment, because it only leads to bigger and better things. So yeah, that is where it all began.
I'm feeling called to repeat that. Comparison is the thief of joy. That is amazing. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I think that when you're not focused in your journey, then, you know, you tend to look out and compare to everyone else. And yeah, it takes away that joy of like, this is your moment right now. Really enjoy that. Yeah. After that, that's when I left my 9-to-5 job. So I didn't really leave with a plan. I was kind of just like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to work from anywhere in the world and have freedom. So freedom in all forms, that's geographically, financially, creatively, and emotionally. And so my professional photography really began when I moved to Melbourne. So I moved to Melbourne from Sydney and I lived there for 2 years. I moved for love. I had an ex-partner who I moved with, and my lifestyle photography really began there, where I was shooting for broadsheet media. Portia had a online magazine for women, and then boutique hotels. And that's where my, I guess, travel photography started to evolve, because then I started traveling for tourism boards and Condé Nast Traveler as well. Yeah.
That's incredible. That is incredible. Wow. I love that you moved for love. And I love that, yeah, like that would have been a relationship that you had in that moment for a particular reason. And it took you on this path of like finding your love for photography. So that, is that when you started to like travel the world and start taking pictures of everything? Like, is that, yeah, like what happened from there? Because I know, yeah, that you went on like solo travel adventures, and then, you know, you got the book deal.
yeah. So I guess when I was living in Melbourne, I knew that I wanted more from just life. You know, when you just know deep inside you that I am made for more. I want to do more. Like, what's next? And so personally, you know, big transitions happened in that time as well, where I left my long-term 8-year relationship, which took a lot of courage. Wow. Yeah, it took a lot of courage and guilt that came with that after, because, you know, when you spend so much time with someone and nothing was wrong, it was a really just like beautiful partnership, but it was time to grow. It was time to evolve. I felt like I had lost a part of myself, because I had entered that relationship at a really young age, and then I was in my mid-20s. And so during that time, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go out and do things and experience being on my own and being independent and knowing who I am. Because I think during that time, I really was caught up in a relationship. And I feel like when you are, you kind of lose a part of yourself. And I felt like I did. So I had left that, but I was still living in Melbourne and I was still traveling for work. So doing a lot of international travel during that time, as well as with Tourism Australia as well. But then I got a job to go to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil for 3 days to shoot for the Olympics. And I was flying all the way from Australia. And so I was like, well, you know what? I'm flying all the way from Australia and that takes, you know, like over a day. I'm not going to stay there for 3 days. So I'm going to book in to do South America solo and experience just the beauty of travel.
I have goosebumps. I have goosebumps. I'm like, South America solo, your first time traveling solo. That's incredible. Like going out there on your own, that is so inspiring. Wow.
It was scary. Yeah, it was very, very scary. But I had, you know, everything sort of lining up for me. So I had that trip to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I had my lease ending in Melbourne. So I put everything into storage. And then I was just like, you know what? I have experienced travel to a sense where I would be picked up from the airport and then, you know, be taken to a beautiful hotel to photograph and go on these incredible experiences. But I felt like I had missed that true concept of travel that's like spontaneous, that travel that leads to like serendipitous moments on the road. And so I really wanted to experience that. So I was like, yep, this is the trip. I'm going to go to South America for 3 months, travel solo, see what happens. And the rest is history.
3 months of doing that. That's insane. So I really like listening to your story. I'm like, you really do have a strong sense of intuition because you've just been able to follow your gut, like to leave an 8-year relationship and to say, no, I actually need to experience life on my own. And then, you know, to be like, I'm going to do this trip. You know what I mean? Like that takes a strong person. So you clearly like have a really strong like sense of intuition, and it's beautiful that you've been like just following your curiosity and it's led you in the most like beautiful places. I think like your story is such a beautiful reminder of other people to do the same. Like we have those desires there for a reason, like just follow those nudges. So your story just is a great reminder of that. But I love how you've just so like, I'm sure like there was a lot that went into you actually taking those first steps and stepping into the fear. But that's like the biggest thing. I think when people think about manifesting and all of that, they're like, oh my God, I envision all these amazing things, and they'll do all the visualizations, the dream boards, but people don't actually take the action. And, you know, that's a lot of like what we were learning about in the course that we were doing together. But it's something that I've had to learn for myself, and I'm only beginning to understand the importance of action, because you actually have to, you know, take action to show the universe, this is what I want to bring into my reality. But it can be the most scariest thing, right? So what's your tips on actually, you know, following your intuition and taking that action into the things that are like that you want to do? Your soul is calling you to do them, but you're just so scared because it might not be what everyone else is doing. It might be weird or different.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I have seen you take action after action after action. And I'm so inspired by that. And I love seeing that because I guess, yeah, as you said, people are, I guess, fed this thing where to manifest that action isn't really an important step when it is in the creation of your dream reality. And I do believe in that step as being, you know, the communication between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. So really amplifying that, the universe really amplifying your actions that you take, because it's a co-creation process. So if you don't believe, you know, that you are co-creating with the universe or higher source, then that's your side of the deal. And if you don't take your side of the deal, then how is that co-creation process meant to come into fruition? So I truly believe that stepping into fear and stepping into, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway, like I love to say, has really come from, I think, this playfulness and this process of just experimenting with what life has to give you. So I know that I have always been curious, and following those curiosities is like love to yourself and respect for yourself, because you were sent here and you have all of these desires and you have these skills and interests and talents. And to truly love yourself and respect who you are is attending to these and really owning it and letting it shine bright. And I think when it comes to, you know, comparison and comparing yourself with everyone else, that's when you're looking outside rather than looking within. And we always have the answers within us. And when we're able to love ourselves and respect ourselves, that's when we know that, you know, we're truly living in alignment with what we're here to do. Even though sometimes it may feel a little bit scary, I always just like to think of it as an experiment of, okay, I'm going to try this. Let's see how that works out. Maybe I will like it. Maybe I won't. That's okay. What's the next thing? And then keep on, you know, having those little curiosities and experimenting until you actually do find something that you really resonate with, and then go all in on that. And I think people, I guess, don't really stay in the discovery and exploration stage because they feel like they have to know it right off the bat, when that's like such a transformative phase in your evolution where you're able to find out all these things about you. And I think when you're multi-passionate, it's like you think that you have to monetize everything in that passion, whereas not necessary. You can still have one core focus and then have those other interests or skills or talents as just like decorations. So I think it's really focusing on what you want to hone in on, which really eliminates the fear that's happening like all around you.
Oh, I love that you said that. Just to draw off my own experience, because I can really relate to that. It's like when I first started this journey into like creating, following my desires, because I hadn't for so long. It's not something that came so naturally to me. So now when I like started to step into following my desires, you're right. It started off as curiosity and me just entertaining that curiosity. So I didn't know that I would like start a podcast and, you know, want to do like energy readings and healings and going into this realm of things. And it's just so different to what I thought it was going to look like. And I can tell you, like a year from now, I'd probably be looking back at my situation now and be like, wow, it looks so different. I'm doing things so differently. And it really just is like following that curiosity, because it's going to lead you exactly where you need to be. So I love that you mentioned that. I think it's so, so, so true. Such a beautiful story.
Sorry, I really love this saying, because it is scary, that first step. And I know how scary it can be, and that's where people sort of stop because they are fearful of that. But it's those little steps, and those little steps are so important to create that momentum. And I love this saying of just, you know, take the first step and the path will unfold. Because once you just keep taking those small little steps, it'll lead you into a direction that sometimes you can't even fathom right now. Like, I know that when I was taking those small little steps of, you know, following my curiosities and traveling, I knew that I wanted a book deal. I knew that I wanted to become a published author, but that wasn't my focus then and there. I was just taking those small steps and those aligned actions. And then the path unfolded for me, which allows you to walk on it and then just experience magical moments in your life that you can't even explain sometimes.
No, I love that. I think you're reminding me of something that I learned this week, and I've really been toying up with this thing that I heard. I don't know where I heard it. I'm trying to remember. I cannot remember for the life of me. Oh my God, I have like a fish memory at the moment. It was... The universe gives you desires for a reason. Like, it's not just you, like, you don't come here with all of these desires to achieve all of these amazing things and then for you just not to have them. Like, it's not like some sick joke where it's like, yeah, have all these dreams and you can't achieve any of them. Like, they're there for a reason. And exactly what you said, it just unfolds, right? So you were like doing something else that like piqued your curiosity, and it all led to like this book deal, which is something that you've always wanted and you had like within you, you desired to have that. So it's just awesome, like, how you can kind of really attract that into your reality. I'd love to know, like, because you have a really beautiful perspective and a beautiful way to look at life. And I love, like, yeah, I just love how you've been able to kind of tackle your own life and really follow your curiosity and all of that. But have you always had that perspective? Because I know that you have recently come out and, you know, you're taking this role as teacher and you're helping other women basically make the world their office, just like you've been able to do. By the way, I don't know if you've trademarked that affirmation. I think you should. To make the world your office.
I think I should.
Yeah, you should. I'm like, that's a good affirmation. But basically, yeah. I love that you do that for other women now. And you have recently opened up about, you know, your success and it being really about mindset development, mindset work. So I love that your work is now going more into like, how can we actually work with the subconscious mind, reprogram our beliefs? So there must be a story there for you to like go from, you know, a 9-to-5 living the conventional life to like now following your dreams and desires and living, you know, the life of your dreams. So I would love to know, like, was there a lot of work you had to do there with your mind?
Yeah. So, it's been a long journey, I would say. Like, these things aren't created overnight. Obviously, that would be amazing, but at the same time, I don't think we'll be able to cherish all of the experiences and memories and learnings that we can have along the way. My mindset work, I would say, really began after I had left my long-term relationship. I was really focused on myself and really focused on diving in deeper into my career and what I wanted to do and just these things within me that knew that they wanted to come out. And so after that, I really, as we were speaking about, just dived into my curiosities. And ever since I was young, I knew that I was an empath and I was highly sensitive and could feel different energies. But I never really thought anything of it. I think, you know, you can be fed sensitivity being a very negative thing or like an insult. And it took a while for me to sort of like change that perception in knowing that sensitivity is not an insult. It's such a beautiful thing to be, and it requires you to really step into that and own that, to know that you can be empathetic towards other people's feelings. And that is a massive trait for coaching and to be able to be a teacher, because understanding people's perspectives is important. And so my mindset work really began, I would say, officially after I had left my long-term relationship. There was one thing that really stood out to me that was from my mum. And I remember her saying, having a conversation with her on the phone and really expressing, you know, I'm scared. I'm not too sure what I want to do because I feel like I've been in this relationship for so long. And she said to me, four words that really stick with me. And she said, "Aubrey, you need to fly." And I took that in like kind of the literal sense. I actually flew across the world and like was traveling solo. But at the same time, it was really that saying of, yeah, you need to fly and be your own person and really dive into yourself. And so, you know, I did. And I met someone that I believe that we always meet someone for a reason, whether that's for them to stay in our lives for long term or just to be there for a memory or to teach us a lesson. And so I was dating quite a bit, not really dating, sorry. I met someone that I dated and he really was like a twin flame because he had experienced everything that I had experienced, but in like male form, in terms of like, you know, leaving a long-term relationship, also being a Taurus. Like, I'm a Taurus, so I'm an earth sign. And he took me into this journey of meditation. And at that time, I knew that my mind was healthy. I didn't think I had any traumas. I didn't think I had anything to work on. But I think when you go into mindset work, then you realize, oh, even if you do have, you know, a nice upbringing, a great family, nothing really traumatic happening to you, that you still do have those things planted in your subconscious mind that can come up as fears and limiting beliefs. So my meditation journey really began in 2015, where I went on a 10-day silent retreat. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Vipassana.
I have. It's come up so many times and I'm feeling called to do it myself. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to hear about it. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I did that the New Year's of 2015, and you know, this beautiful person had invited me to.
Did you make it the full 10 days?
Yeah, yeah. And so it, you know, I guess it's like, it's seen as like this silent retreat where you can't talk to anyone and that's the hardest thing. But for me, that was actually the easiest thing to do. So Vipassana, I did it in 2015 and I did it over New Year's because I was invited and, you know, I had always spent New Year's kind of the same thing over and over, partying, drinking and just having a amazing celebration that has been always over the top. And so to welcome the new year in silence in Vipassana was, I was open to that. I loved the thought of it, doing something different. And so it's basically, you know, 10 days, a silent meditation retreat, and you have, you know, no access to phones, cameras, technology, anything. There's no speaking, there's no reading, there's no writing. And you meditate from 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. You have breaks in between, but you're really just left with you and your own thoughts. And so that was incredible. I remember actually speaking to a woman beforehand and she was saying how much she hated it. She's like, oh, I hate this and everything. And it's, you know, it's purely voluntary. So I was like, so if you hate it so much, like, why are you back? Why are you here? And she said, because I noticed how I was and the pure effects of it when I was out in the real world, in the outside world. And so I was like, oh, okay. And you do. You really realize it when, you know, you're in it and it's a very hard experience because you're left to your own thoughts and yourself, your own being. So when you are in the outside world, it's so different. Like vibration will rise. As soon as I got out, I was crying from just being so overwhelmed because there were people laughing and I could feel the vibration of that. And because I was in such, you know, a stillness state, those vibrations of just people laughing were really overwhelming to me. So that's where
I could imagine.
Yeah, that's where it all began. And then that's the one practice that I've taken with me all around the world. Meditation, especially with solo travel. And then I got my yoga teacher training and pranayama, so meditation teacher training overseas, which has led to now as well that I dived in deeper into the subconscious mind and got my certification for mindset and NLP and hypnosis and EFT. So it really began officially, I would say, in 2015, but it's a practice for meditation that I've taken with me and just dive deeper into till now.
Wow. I love that you really have studied, like, it's, you've really dived deep into the subconscious mind, our programming, why we do the things that we do. And I love that you have invested in like those modalities to now help other women change their lives and change their programming. I think that it's incredible. The meditation, it's like, I want to go back to that for a second. I can't believe you did that meditation. That's so awesome. And it takes a lot of strength to actually stay there for the 10 days. So incredible job. The only thing that's not keeping me, like that's keeping me from going is not the fact that I won't have access to like phones and things like that. It's the fact that I have to sit down and meditate. I can only like lie down. So I'm like sitting down would just be so painful for me. Yeah, I know, that's my only reservation. It's so funny.
It is quite painful though, but I guess like that's part of the process, right? Like really taking in that pain and just sitting with it, sitting with your breath, sitting with the pain and the thoughts and the memories that come up. Yeah, so I would say it is quite painful, but then it just strengthens your mental capacity to be able to get through things when you're out in the real world at such a like resilient state.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I have to do it now. It's come up too many times. I have a rule. If something comes up at least three times, I'm like, I have to do it. And this just keeps coming up. I'm like, I have to do it. Did you have any like insane spiritual experiences while you were doing the 10-day retreat?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I guess like I haven't really opened up about it, really speaking about it online. I did have...
Yeah,
incredible experience throughout that 10 days. And that's how I knew that it was something that I needed to continue because it was so deep. I got to go in deeper than I had never delved into before. And when you're really, you know, forced to go into that, well, I guess not really forced because you can leave whenever you want. But I knew that it was good for me, and I knew that, you know, really experiencing this is why I had met that person that I had met during that time. And even though, you know, we had ended things, that was such a beautiful thing to take out of that, that, okay, I have this meditation practice. I have been introduced to this new way of just seeing the world, but also challenging, like going through these challenges in my life in a way that I couldn't even explain, and have that mental capacity to really get through everything life has thrown at me now. So, yeah.
I love that. So it was really just learning strength, your own strength, your own inner strength. And that's so, so, so beautiful. You're inspiring me to like want to go book it in right now. So thank you for sharing that with us. But I love that you're like really curious about the subconscious mind, and so am I. Like I really, really believe that our internal world is a reflection of our external world, our outer world, the things that we bring in. So could we, I haven't really done this on the podcast before, so could you explain to us a little bit about what the subconscious mind is, and like maybe even how we can pick up on limiting beliefs and things, because it can be so hidden and you know, you're used to thinking this certain way, and it can be, you won't even know like that your subconscious mind is influencing you negatively at times. So it takes, it can take a bit of work to actually pick out, you know, what are the things that actually need to be worked on in order for you to attract your desired reality.
Yeah, I love this, and I love how you've really dived into it as well, because it's such a powerful, powerful tool. Well, our mindset anyway, but our subconscious mind is like really the most powerful part of our mind, and it really just runs everything in our day-to-day life. And so it's the part of the mind that's like not currently in focus right now, but it stores every bit of information. So I like to think of it as a computer. And, you know, at any given moment, there are 2.3 million bits of information happening around us, but our conscious mind is only able to process a small portion of that. And our conscious mind only really processes 126 bits of information. So if you can imagine that 2.3 million bits of information, like that is a lot happening around us. And our subconscious mind really stores that like a computer that, you know, stores all of our personal experiences, our memories, everything that has happened to us. And so most of our limiting beliefs were actually individually programmed into us from when we were between the ages of 0 to 7, because between that age, we have no concept of what is right or wrong. So we're really accepting everything that's happening around us. So I have, you know, a niece and nephew now that's in that age bracket. And I'm so consciously aware of everything that I guess not just like my brother and his partner are feeding them, but from my point of view too, to be able to really open up their sort of consciousness and be aware that you can create anything in life. You can be anything that you want in life, so that's instilled into their subconscious mind, and to be able to have that expansive thought and conditioning. So yeah, at any given time, all of that information is happening around us. So our subconscious mind is running our day-to-day life, because back when we were, you know, little toddlers, like running around, we may have limiting beliefs and thoughts and fears that were instilled in us, and we're not consciously aware of it right now. So, you know, when it comes to reprogramming the subconscious mind, we really work at the root, because to allow for change to happen in your external world, you really need to get to the root of your internal world and really create that change from a cellular level, not just saying, you know, like, you can do it, or like, you got this sort of way of motivating, but actually going in deep and reprogramming from the internal aspect to be able to show up differently in the external world.
I think that that's beautiful. And I think that you're going to be such like a powerful example for people to actually do that subconscious work. Because I think what, like, I want to bring it back to what you said earlier. You said, you know, I had a beautiful upbringing, I had beautiful parents, I had a beautiful childhood experience, but not realizing that, yes, still you might have had a beautiful upbringing, but there are still, there's traumas that, you know, beliefs that were fed into you from your parents that aren't your own, things that you just picked up subconsciously because you are like this little mind just walking around and absorbing it all. So I love that you're conscious of your nieces and nephews now. And you're really like, you watch kind of the words that you use around and what you tell them and what you feed them, and feeding them those expansive thoughts is just so beautiful and something I want to adopt when I become a parent and all of that as well. It's something that, it's great, like, we're doing the work and we can be mindful for our offspring, so it's beautiful. But yeah, I think it's powerful that you do that. Like, you are really mindful of, you know, I had a beautiful upbringing, I had a beautiful life, but there are still things I have to deal with and I have to work on. And I like that you make it really practical. You're like, okay, but how? Like, how can I actually now reprogram the mind? And I guess like that's why you've dived deep into NLP, hypnotherapy, EFT. So maybe could you explain a little into what those modalities are, maybe how you use them with clients and actually reprogramming the brain?
Yeah. So as I was saying, I like to think of the subconscious mind as a computer, and it constantly, you know, is fed all of this information and it stores it. And it stores information in symbols, and it has a filing system. So just think of it as that, you know, you have a filing system on your computer, so does your subconscious mind. And so when it comes to NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, it's basically the language of the mind, and really using it to achieve our desired outcomes, our goals, and ultimately creating our dream life. So, you know, when it comes to the language, there is so much that I guess people don't realize with our language that creates our dream reality. Because when you are constantly saying something or something that's negative, then it's going to be instilled in there without you even realizing it. And then you're going to be showing up without even realizing it. So the results are really, I guess, dependent on your beliefs as well. And so when it comes to EFT tapping as well, so EFT tapping is an alternative medicine, and it's based on acupuncture sort of therapy, where it's used to restore balance, energetic balance within our body. So we're tapping on meridian points to be able to move that sort of stagnant energy within your body. And we can really first recognize our limiting beliefs and fears, I would say, by first becoming observers of our own life and what we do, and then really taking a step back and journaling that. Because we can be so distracted, I guess, with day-to-day things that we don't take the time to actually observe and write down what we did. And I think that was the beauty of travel for me, because when you travel, you're able to like take yourself out of your actual life and then see it from a different perspective and see, okay, this is what I want to change, and this is what I like, or this is what I have been doing. So in terms of all of these different modalities, it's, I guess getting to the base and like the foundation of it, it's really realizing this. And this is a thing that I share with my clients as well, is it's getting to the root, because this is the pattern that we go through. So it starts with our beliefs. Our beliefs turn into thoughts. Our thoughts turn into emotions. Emotions turn into feelings. The feelings turn into behavior, and the behavior ultimately creates our results. And so when people are trying to change things from the behavior kind of the behavior point, you're diminishing everything else and starting from behavior to change your results. But it doesn't actually work that way. You have to go from the root and change your beliefs about something. Because if you believe, say, for example, you know, fears, or like fear of failure or fear of success even, then everything after that is going to just become a ripple effect. So when we work at a cellular level, when we're working from the belief, then it just makes those stages so much more easier. So I'll give you an example, I guess, of just fears and like self-sabotaging behavior that can happen without you even realizing it. So I had a client call just recently, and she was really unsure of, you know, what was she was really unsure of taking things to the next step. She knew that she wanted to take things to the next step, and it wasn't fear of failure, because she was already achieving great things. She was a fitness coach, and she was scared. She actually, you know, explained her story to me, and she was saying that she was scared of actually reading the next level, even if she was earning, you know, like five-figure months and everything. She was scared that she wasn't able to handle everything. So when she would see momentum in things, then she would kind of take a step back, and she didn't know why, because she's like, but I want to achieve these things. I know that I want to. And so I was really, you know, diving in deeper into that, and we got to the conclusion of her not even realizing that she had a fear of success, that yes, she wants success, but she actually feels like she can't handle it, that she would have to take on more responsibility, that she would have to, you know, manage a team, and she didn't know how to manage a team, when those are actually the next steps. So that kind of behavior can happen without you even realizing it. But once you like really dive deep into why, then that's when you can work on it. And I remember a behavior that I used to have as well, that I recognized as self-sabotaging behavior, was when I also had fear of success, and I would take increments, say, for example, like, oh, I only have like 30 minutes or 45 minutes between, you know, having an appointment for something. Because my behavior reflected not taking action in that 45 minutes, or like my beliefs of having fear of success, which led to my thoughts of, okay, 45 minutes, that's not enough time. I need more time than that. And then it led me to thinking, okay, then I'm not going to do anything because I need more time to do this. And then the results were nothing happened, right? That's actually self-sabotaging behavior, because if you looked at it from a growth mindset, you would think, okay, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, what can I do in this time? Even if I'm not going to finish it, I feel motivated, I feel pumped, I'm going to take action right now. And then results, the outcome would be having something to show for it. So that was one that I really recognized with myself as well, which I've been working on.
That's actually something that you just called out in me now. I was like, oh my God, I just did that the other day. But I was like, I knew I was sabotaging myself, but I couldn't pinpoint what it is. You just pinpointed it. Yeah. I was like, that's what I'm doing. But it can be so tricky. Like you really believe that thought, and you convince yourself it's right. Yeah. And you don't realize that you're sabotaging yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an incredible thing, I think, when people can realize that, because then that's when change can start to happen. And then that's when you're actually in that moment in time, you can be aware of that and then change every little thing in that to create results that you actually want. And I love that about, you know, working in this field and with these different modalities, because it's true. Like our internal world and everything that's happening within us really creates our external reality. And I'm so grateful to be able to dive in deeper into these because I know how much change it has in people's lives.
That's so beautiful. And yeah, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. I'm curious, is there like a certain time period you give like for the reprogramming of the mind? Because you are very practical in how you like apply the tools and you're like, okay, we've recognized this belief. Now in the process of actually rewriting that belief, do you find that like everyone's different or is it like you want to do these things for a month? Like how does your process work with that?
Yeah, I guess it depends on each client, right? Like I think change can happen really in a 90-minute call, which is like a one-off clarity call for me, but then also you can really strengthen that experience throughout 1 month to 3 months. I typically like to work with people in the 3 months just because it really allows time to dive into an individual's timeline and really get a sense of, you know, past, present, future, and allow for me to understand, get more comfortable in opening up this space of different vulnerabilities and being honest. And it's like, it's a container that I like and I'm proud to say that I help people feel more safe in being vulnerable and being honest because that's where the change happens as well. I can be super honest with my experience as well as people sharing their personal experiences as well. So change can really happen in a one-off like 15-minute NLP technique, which I love because something like that, you're able to become aware of it. And then once you're living in your day-to-day life, you can be like, okay, I actually, you know, had this belief before. I'm changing that with these affirmations, with this hypnosis or like custom meditation that I love to do, and then really change the way that they operate in their day-to-day life, but then strengthening and really becoming aware of, you know, where you want to be or where you want to go and understanding yourself more deeper. That is a process that would take, yeah, a longer time, I would say like 3 months, and allow for that change to be really, I guess, strengthened throughout the time and having that internal strength within yourself, because I love to empower women. I don't, you know, look at it as, okay, I want you to work with me for this amount of time and then I'm going to get you to work with me for longer. I really want to give the tools and techniques so that whoever works with me is able to take that and then continue on with their life. So they're not reliant. They're not like really so codependent on me. They're really empowered to do that for their own life. And I love that feeling.
That's beautiful. I think that's so important because you want to create empowered creators, which is, you know, a lot of what you preach, which is so beautiful. And I love that you kind of like have that 3 month period with the client to just be like, this is your tool for life now. Like, do this when you need it, because it's true. Like I was talking about this earlier on my stories earlier this week, but I'm really like going through the next stage of growth, right? Trying to like up level to the next version of me. But that involves lots of like shedding old beliefs, working on that limiting like mindset, all of that. So it's kind of like the same things are coming up, but just a different, like another layer. Just another layer I have to work through. And this is going to be the process of life. It's not like you do these things once off and you never have to do them again. So the fact that you kind of you've created this course and now women can kind of like, you know, go into this course and be like, wow, now I have tools for life. Like that is really, really special. So I love that you do that. That's awesome. Just bringing it back to the book deal that you did. I love like hearing the story of how it came to fruition. It's so beautiful. And I know like you kind of packed that book with all your wisdom throughout your travels and everything that you learned. So if you could like pick one thing to share with us from that book in terms of like a life lesson that you think is most, I know it's so hard because you can't pick like one thing, but if you could pick one thing, what would you share with the listeners today?
Oh yeah, that is very hard. Because in chapter 5 of Wonder Love, I actually share 12 life lessons from solo travel that I have learned on the road. There's a couple that I love in there. Well, there's a lot that I love in there. And those are really the life lessons that I love to share with the world, but also have like obviously taken on for myself. Okay, if I were to say one, I'm going to make it two, because these are actually on the same page. Well, like it's a, when you open the book, they're like across each other, because they really came as a thought from like one after the other of being on the road when I was writing. So number one is you create your own reality, and everything, I guess, that we preach of, you know, really working on your internal world and that being a reflection of your external reality is so true, because we can create anyone who we want to be. And that's such a beautiful thing when we choose to really create ourselves, which leads me to the next one, which is you create yourself. And this just really goes back to the point of, you know, you can be anyone who you want to be. These desires were meant for you and you deserve them, because that is what you're meant to do here in the world. And when I was traveling, you know, I would always hear these, I guess, like these tips and advice of like, you know, when you're traveling solo, you find yourself, you really find yourself as a young woman. And I'm like, hell no, I don't really resonate with that. I feel like you create yourself when you're on the road, because you can be anyone who you want to be and you're constantly evolving. So I guess a life lesson is really those two things of that you create your own reality and you create yourself. And ultimately, that's the beauty of this relationship with yourself and self-development work and knowing yourself more. So yeah, really powerful questions that I asked myself when I was on the road, and I've created it into a free signature self journal, which you can download. So it's really just a formula for creating yourself and your dream reality. So really asking questions to dive in deeper into my signature self formula.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I want to download that now. I'm going to do it after this. Well, could you tell us and the listeners where we could actually, you know, find you? Where can we work with you?
Yeah, so the free signature self journal is at theloveassembly.com/self, and I can be found anywhere online under The Love Assembly. So my website is theloveassembly.com, and I'm The Love Assembly on Instagram. And yeah, you can start by discovering more about yourself, your true self, with my free signature self journal at theloveassembly.com/self.
Oh, how beautiful is that? Thank you so much, Aubrey. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I feel like I've learned so much through this conversation. So thank you for taking some time out of your day to be here with us.
Thank you so much, Shalee, for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.